Chad Groening. Key Senate members have announced an agreement on a $790 billion economic stimulus bill. The package includes expanded unemployment benefits, food stamps, and health coverage. And states facing the prospect of making deep cuts in school aid and other programs will receive billions. Meanwhile, the Obama administration is shrugging off Tuesday's negative Wall Street reaction to its financial bailout overhaul. White House correspondent Mark Smith reports.
Asked about the Dow's 400-point plunge following Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner's announcement, Press Secretary Robert Gibbs says it's wrong to judge the plan based on a single day in the market. Plus, he says the plunge likely came from disappointment. Uncle Sam won't simply take toxic debt off Wall Street's hands.
There's no easy way out of this for the country, and there's also no easy way out of this for Wall Street.
Gibbs says leaks about a so-called bad bank assuming that debt with the taxpayer footing the bill turned out simply not to be true. Mark Smith at the White House.
A House panel looking into the massive salmonella recall has heard from people whose relatives became sick from contaminated food. One man whose mother died says he wants to, quote, see jail time for those responsible. The owner of the peanut company at the center of the recall earlier refused to testify. A bad economy helps, but the Army says some other factors are playing a role in boosting its recruiting numbers. National Security correspondent Sagar Magani reports from the Pentagon.
Part of it is political. Specifically, President Obama's pledge to get more troops out of Iraq.
Recruiters have told me that some parents are more supportive of military service now that there's been a change in administration.
Lieutenant General Benjamin Frankley, the head of Army Accessions Command, says the president's call to service will also help, as will high unemployment. But Frankley says anybody putting on a uniform just for the salary and benefits is in for a rude awakening.
When you're in the Army, you have to perform.
Sagar Meghani at the Pentagon.
Oklahoma Governor Brad Henry has declared a state of emergency in 17 counties raked by tornadoes. Hardest hit was the community of Lone Grove, where 8 people died and 14 were seriously injured. Emergency crews are sorting through debris, looking for more possible victims. A county government in Wisconsin is dropping prayer at its meetings. More on that from AFN's Charlie Butts.
All was going well with prayer until officials received a letter from the Atheist Freedom from Religion Foundation complaining that a prayer referencing Christianity is unconstitutional. Matt Staver of Liberty Council says that's simply not the truth.
This situation with the Dodge County Board of Supervisors is an example of where some radical separationists are pushing this country. They want to literally eliminate any kind of reference to God or religion. Clearly, a deliberative body, legislature or city or county council or board of supervisors, is able to have prayer, not just silence, before their meetings.
And the halt in this case came from just one complaint, which ignores the majority.
Clearly, I think this is an extreme reaction, indeed an overreaction, one that is not necessary and one that is regrettable.
I'm Charlie Butts.
6 leaders in the pro-life movement were honored recently for their work to increase awareness about the truth of abortion. AFN's Allie Martin has the story.
The Girard Health Foundation recently awarded the 2008 Life Prizes. The prize program recognized 6 people who have advanced the pro-life cause through a number of areas, such as scientific research, outreach and public disclosure activities, and other achievements. Ray Ruddy is president of Girard Health Foundation and says the awards are a chance to recognize those who are on the front lines of the pro-life movement and also to inspire the next generation to accomplish great things.
There are some 1,500 prizes out there for almost any endeavor, work that you might do, but there's none in the pro-life arena, and we thought that it would be a very positive thing to do to have such award. We wanted to do it in conjunction with Students for Life conference, and we did it, and there were about 500 students that were actually there. We also felt that who better could we give our pro-life dollars to than those that have done the best work in the pro-life area.
Up to $600,000 was awarded as part of the 2008 Life Prizes. I'm Allie Martin.
And that is American Family News to the Hour. I'm Chad Groening.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Because you love the truth, LibertyRadioLive.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border, and I'm Nicholas. We're going through the book of Joshua. We've ended up in Joshua chapter 15, in the middle of the survey of the land. The children of Israel have gone over, and they've conquered a good part of the land, and now they're dividing it up. And we're getting the survey details. If we had a map and we knew where all of the markers were, we could follow along and see how they divided up the land. And we're in now in chapter 15 and verse 20, where it says, "This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Judah, according to their families. The uttermost cities of the tribe of the children of Judah toward the coast of Edom, southward, were Kabzeel and Eder and Jagger and Kinna and Dimona and Adada and Kadesh and Hazor and Ithnan, Ziph and Telim and Bealoth and Hazor, Hadata and Kirioth, and Hezron, which is Hazor, Hamam, and Shema, and Moladah, and Hazor Gadah, and Heshmon, and Beth Pelet, and Hazar Shuel, and Beersheba, and Bizjoth Jah, Baalah, and Iim, and Azem, and El Tolad, and Cheshil, and Horma, and Ziklag, and Madmana, and Susanna, and Leboath, and Shilhim, and Ain, and Rimon. All the cities are 29 with their villages. And in the valley of Eshtoel, and Zoriah, and Ashna, and Zenoah, and Enganim, and Tapuah, and Enam, Jarmuth, and Adullam, and Sokol, and Azekah, and Sheraim, and Adithiam, and Gederah, and Gederothiam, 14 cities with their villages, Zenan, and Hadashah, and Migdalgad, and Dilean, and Mizpeh, and Jokthiel, Lachish, Bozkoth, Eglon, and Kabon, and Lanom, and Kithlish, and Gederoth, Beth Dagon, and Naamah, and Makeda, 16 cities with their villages, Libna, and Ether, and Ashan, and Japtah, and Ashna, and Nezib, and Kelah, and Akzib, and Marishah, 9 cities with their villages, Ekron with her towns and her villages, from Ekron even to the sea, all that lay near Ashdod with their villages, Ashdod with her towns and her villages, Gaza with her towns and her villages, unto the river of Egypt, and the great sea, and the border thereof, and in the mountains Shamer, and Jatter, and Sokah, and Dana, and Kirjath, Sena, and which is Deber, and Anab, and Ashterma, and Anim, and Goshen, and Holon, and Gola, 11 cities with their villages, Arab, and Duma, and Eshin, and Janum, and Beth Tapuah, and Ephakah, and Humta, and Jirath Arba, which is Hebron, and Zior, 9 cities with their villages, Maon, Carmel, and Ziph, and Jutah, and Jezreel, and Jokdeam, and Zenoah, Cain, Gibla, and Timnah, 10 cities with their villages, Halhal, Bethzur, and Gedor, and Ma'arath, and Bethanoth, and Altakon, 6 cities with their villages, Kirjath Baal, which is Kirjath Jearim, and Reba, two cities with their villages. In the wilderness, Beth Araba and Maiden and Sigaka and Nib Shean and the city of Salt and En Gedi, six cities with their villages. Hey, there's one I could pronounce. Salt. Yes. As for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem unto this day. Wonder why they could not drive those Jebusites out, at least at this point in the narrative. And the lot of the children of Joseph fell from the Jordan by Jericho unto the water of Jericho on the east, to the wilderness that goeth up from Jericho throughout Mount Bethel, and goeth out from Bethel to Luz, and passeth along unto the borders of Arki to Ataroth, and goeth down westward to the coasts of Japhleti, unto the coasts of Beth-Horon and Nether, and goeth and to Gezer, and the goings out thereof are at the sea. So the children of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim, took their inheritance, and the border of the children of Ephraim, according to their families, was thus. Even the border of their inheritance of the east side was Ataroth-Ader unto Beth-Horon the upper, and the border went out toward the sea to Michmetah on the north side, and of the border went about eastward to Taanath Shiloh, and passed by it on the east to Janoah. And it went down from Janoah to Ataroth and to Naaroth, and came to Jericho, and went out at Jordan. The border went out from Tapua westward, even to the river of Cana, and the goings out thereof were at the sea. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Ephraim by their families. And the separate cities for the children of Ephraim were among the inheritance of the children of Manasseh, all the cities with their villages. And they drove out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day and serve under tribute. So they drove not out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer. Did I skip that? Yes. So they drove not out the Canaanites that dwell in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day and serve under tribute. So was that disobedience for them not to drive them out? And what influence will the Canaanites have on the children of Israel? Well, we will see if that compromise causes any trouble in the future. I think we already know the answer to any compromise. There was also a lot for the tribe of Manasseh, for he was the firstborn of Joseph, to wit, for Maker, the firstborn of Manasseh, the father of Gilead, because he was a man of war, therefore he had Gilead and Bashan. And there was also for the rest of the children of Manasseh by their families, the children of Abiezer, and for the children of Halak, and for the children of Asriel, and for the children of Shechem, and for the children of Hepher, and for the children of Shemadiah. And there was the male children of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, by their families. Well, these were the male children. But Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Maker, the son of Manasseh, had no sons, but daughters. And these are the names of the daughters: Melah and Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tizrah. And they came near before Eleazar the priest, and before Joshua the son of Nun, and before the princes, saying, "The Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our brethren. Therefore, according to the commandment of the Lord, he gave them an inheritance among their brethren, the brethren of their father." So we see here a little more. We add a little more case law to the inheritance statutes. And they came near before Eleazar the priest, before Joshua the son of Nun, okay? And he gave them an inheritance among their brethren. And there fell 10 portions to Manasseh beside the land of Gilead and Bashan, and they, which was on the other side of the Jordan. I want to step back. Oh, yeah. Because the daughters of Manasseh had an inheritance among his sons, the rest of Manasseh's sons had the land of Gilead. And the coast of Manasseh was from Asher to Mishmetha that lieth before Shechem, and the border went along on the right hand unto the inhabitants of Entupah. And I don't know if they're going to cover that here, but I've seen it covered in the past where if a woman inherited land, that if she married outside the tribe, that the land would not go with her, but it would remain with that tribe. And I was hoping they would get into that, but they didn't. So if a woman inherits because there's no man, and she's able to inherit some land or have a part in the land, that inheritance does not go with her if she marries into another tribe. But I found that somewhere else. I need to start marking these things according when I find a statute like that. Put it under a classification so that I can look it up later when I'm on a topic like that. And someday I do need to do a topical study on the biblical law of inheritance, because of course to institute inheritance in the true church in His kingdom as best we can today, I guess we have to understand inheritance. And I can say that I understand it, but as to having done a topical study on it, I'm not sure that that would be an undertaking. Anyway, let's continue. Joshua 17. It would be an interesting study, and perhaps if someone else has done it, maybe I'll look for that someday and cover it as a topical day. I'll make a note of that and see what I can find on it. Okay, the coast of Manasseh was from Asher to Mish. Okay, read that. Didn't mark. Now Manasseh had the land of Tappuah, but Tappuah on the border of Manasseh belonged to the children of Ephraim, and the coast descended to the river of Cana. Okay, I think I read that already, or at least everything's starting to sound the same. Yeah, so I'll just jump in here since I didn't mark it. The coast descended to the river Cana, southward to the river. These cities of Ephraim, and among the cities of Manasseh, the coast of Manasseh was also on the north side of the river, and the outgoings of it were at the sea. Southward it was Ephraim's, and northward it was Manasseh's, and the sea is his border. And they met together at Asher on the north, and in Issachar on the east. And Manasseh had in Issachar and in Asher Bethlehem and Beth Shean and her towns, and Ibleam and her towns, and the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, and the inhabitants of Endor and her towns, and the inhabitants of Taanach and her towns, and the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, even three countries. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Ah, see, the trouble here is staying in the land. And why could they not drive them out? Well, we're not given the detail there. We're just given the little detail that they could not drive them out. So we see that the influence of some of these people is going to stay in the land. And that will be an unfortunate influence, I believe. Yet it came to pass when the children of Israel were waxen strong. Okay, chapter 17, verse 13. Yet it came to pass, when the children of Israel were waxen strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. And the children of Joseph spoke unto Joshua, saying, Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, forasmuch as Yahuwah hath blessed me hitherto? And Joshua answered them, If thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country, and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim is be too narrow for thee. What he's saying, you know, if you want more, go over there and take it. Mm-hmm. And the children of Joseph said, the hill is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron. Both they who are of Beth She'an and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. And Joshua spoke unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, thou art great people, thou hast great power, thou shalt not have one lot, thou shalt have one lot only. But the mountain shall be thine, for it is a good wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine, for thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. So Joshua's word is, drive them out. You will drive them out, even if they have chariots of iron, and they are strong. And the whole congregation of Israel assembled together at Shiloh, and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there. And the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes, which had not yet received their inheritance. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? Give ye out among you 3 men for each tribe, and I will send them, and they shall rise and go through the land and describe it according to the inheritance of them, and they shall come back again to me. And so basically he's sending out a survey party of 3 men from each tribe. And they're going to go out to continue to survey the land. And they shall divide it to 7 parts. And that's for the 7 tribes that had not got their part yet. Judah shall abide in their coasts on the south, and the house of Joseph shall abide in their coasts on the north. Yet ye shall therefore describe the land 7 parts, and bring the description hither to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord our God. But the Levites have no part among you, for the priesthood of Yahuwah is their inheritance, and Gad and Reuben and the half-tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance beyond Jordan, on the east, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them. And the men arose and went away, and Joshua charged them that they that went to describe the land, saying, go and walk through the land, and describe it, and come again to me, that I may hear cast lots before you, before the Lord in Shiloh. So basically, the survey party, they're going to go out, they're going to set markers, and they're going to write up a survey of the land, a description of the land, like a legal description of the land. And then they're going to divide it into 7 equal parts. And see, you have 3 men from each tribe, and every man is going to make sure of all those tribes, they're going to make sure that all of those parts are equal, because they don't know which one they're going to get, because they're going to cast lots for them. So you see the wisdom here in this way that they're dividing up the land. You have 3 men from each tribe of 7 tribes. You have 21 men, surveyors, going out marking the land, putting up markers. That's right, describing the land, trying to make sure that all of the 7 parcels that they're marking out are going to be equal in value, because none of those men know which parcel they are going to get. You get the idea? And Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord. And there Joshua divided the land unto the children of Israel according to their divisions. And the lot of the tribe of the children of Benjamin came up according to their families. And the coast of their lot came forth between the children of Judah and the children of Joseph. And their border on the north side was from Jordan to the border, went up to the side of Jericho on the north side, and went up through the mountains westward, and the goings out thereof were at the wilderness of Beth Aven. And the border went over there from Luz toward Luz, and to the side of Luz, which is Bethel, southward to the border, descended to Ataroth Adar, near the hill that lieth on the south side of the nether Beth Horon. and the border was drawn thence, and compassed the corner of the sea southward from the hill that lieth before Beth-Horon southward, and the goings out thereof were at Kirjath-Baal, which is Kirjath-Jearim, a city of the children of Judah. This was the west quarter. And the south quarter was from the end of Kirjath-Jearim to the border, went out to the west and went out to the well of the water of Naphtoah. The border came down to the end of the mountain that lieth before the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is in the valley of the giants on the north, and descended up to the valley of Hinnom to the side of Jebusi on the south, and descended to En-Rogel. And here we have a reference to, let me mark my place, we have a reference to the giants of the north. And I believe there's some bad teaching going out and around about the children of God, or the sons of God, saw the daughters of men. You know that phrase from before the flood? And many people say that the sons of God, there were angels that came down and they mated with women, and that giants were born at that time. And that's where all the mythology and so forth comes from. Well, you know, there's nothing in the Scripture. Now, if we use only Scripture to interpret Scripture, well, you know, that's a fanciful speculation, but using Scripture to interpret Scripture, that doesn't work. Because here we see they have giants here. And if you watch, get those videos from Kent Hovind's ministry, DrDino.com, or you can get them on our shopping page at the network there, and you watch those videos, you can see the skeletons of giants. And you know what we'll pick up here? Whenever I get into one of these little side trails, I always get into a break. But we will pick up here after this short break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a few minutes.
In the deep of the dark, you fell in as the heart of your world went down in flames to a cauldron of pain. See no way out. And as you walk through the fire, losing even desire, it was like a dying song to lose.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Let our motto be, don't tread on me. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for
for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
We crossed a reference to giants in the land of Canaan, how there were giants in the north, and perhaps these giants were, 8 foot, 10 foot, maybe even 12 foot tall men. You know, they were fairly big men. And they would be referred to as giants. And which made me think of what I believe is a teaching that is an error out there, and the reference, of course, is to Genesis chapter 6. And I'll just read it here at verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose." And so what's going on here? You know, then you have this teaching that comes about to say that the sons of God were actually angels who came down and they mated with women and had giants and so forth. Well, I don't see any of that here in the scripture. If you take this into context, we're only talking about men and women and the daughters of men here. "And the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose." So what is really going on here? It means that men started choosing their own wives. What I really see here is a change, not in obedience to parents. That's gone, because the men are choosing for themselves. So we see disobedient. to parents. Another thing I would call this is the beginning of the idolatry of romance, even before Rome began. But the whole idea of the goddess worship, of worshiping women and seeking after women for their looks, because the key phrase here is they saw the daughters of men that they were fair. So they started to look on the appearance of women. This was a big change. This is the beginning of the worship, or of goddess worship, or the worship of the flesh, or the body, or the appearance. And they took them wives of all they chose, so they chose them by the way they looked. So they began to worship the appearance of the woman. And that's what's really going on here. That's the change. And he says, And the Lord said, and Yahuwah said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. And it goes on, his days shall yet be 120 years. He's going to limit. And then we have this phrase, there were giants in the earth in those days. Well, see, this is not tied to the previous phrase. It doesn't say, and the result of these unions were giants. Now, if it said that, and the result of these unions were giants, well, then we'd have to take a second look. But it doesn't say that. It says there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, that they bore children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. It doesn't say, and God saw the wickedness of these hybrids, because there's no mention of hybrids here. There's no mention of angels. It's just that they have taken this phrase, the sons of God. You know, if I say the sons of God today, do you think of angels? No. Who are the sons of God today? Who were the sons of God then? They were the men who were supposed to be following God. But there's a change here. They started looking on the appearance of women. So, you know, if we're using Scripture to interpret Scripture, I can't really go there. And then, see, now, if this was the giants then where did the giants come from after the flood? Where did these big men come from? Well, they also had to be, of the sons of Noah. And you remember that all men are of the same gene pool. They all came from the original man and woman. All the sons of Noah and their wives, they all were descendants, so that they would have giants in them. Well, yes, there are very few giants today in the earth, but there are a few. They don't get as big as they used to. And like I said, get that video series by Kent Hovind. And, you know, anyone who doesn't have that in their library, all I can say is shame on you. If your children aren't watching this, if you aren't giving this to the families of your grandchildren, these videos, there's no excuse. You can get them for us for practically cost, all 8 videos. You go to the shopping page at the network there, and you can get them. Or I believe you can even watch them free on the internet. But this is, you can make copies. The copyright says you can make copies. Just, you know, copy them completely. And so you can make copies of all the DVDs and give them away to your families if you can't afford to buy them a set. We'll make copies for you. Like I said, it practically costs. It's a little chore making them, but we're glad to do it to get it out. Not really in business to make any money by selling them. Like I said, it's kind of a chore, and it's one more thing to do. So I'd rather you get a copy or a set from me and then make more copies and give them away to your children and your grandchildren. So all I can say is, like, shame on you if you don't have these in your library, because these are invaluable tools for training up your children and teaching them the truth about history and about, you know, all of these things that our good friend Kent Hovind worked many years to bring out in these videos. And on top of that, they're very entertaining. So do get those, and you can learn about giants and how giants, they have found bones all over the earth, all over the world, that were post-flood of giants, or people who lived to be, you know, 8, 10, and I think even up to 12 feet tall. So, and it's all there for you. But they don't teach you that in the public fool system because it kind of goes contrary to their evolution theory. Because the evolution theory says that we were small and we're getting bigger and better. But the creation account from the Bible says that we were perfect in the beginning and everything is kind of slowly falling apart in our age span. Lifespan is getting shorter and we're getting smaller and more prone to disease as the gene pool gets more and more corrupt and as we pollute ourselves with bad diets and so forth, and on it goes. So you'll see the opposite there. Anyway, back to our reference in Joshua. And if you want more, I think I cover that a little more in depth as I went through Genesis chapter 6. So you can refer to my Genesis study at my website, crosstheborder.org, if you want to learn more about that chapter 6 reference and more about what I believe about that, if I haven't explained it well enough. So, anyway, chapter 18, verse 16, and the border came down to the end of the mountain that is before the valley of the son of Hinnom, and which is in the valley of the giants on the north. So they had some pretty big people up there living on the north. You know, perhaps a tribe of giants or people 7, 8, you know, 9 feet tall. Who knows? They don't tell us how tall they were. And, of course, we know that those giants existed even in the time of David because they had one that they constantly put out there as their warrior. What was the guy's name? The giant that David slew? Anyway, that guy. Okay, 17. And was drawn from the north and went forth to En-Shemesh and went forth to Geliloth, which is over against the going up of Adunim, and ascended to the stone of Bohan, the son of Reuben, and passed along toward the side over against Arabah, northward, and went down to Arabah. And the border passed along to the side of Beth-Hogla, northward, and the outgoings of the border were at the north bay of the Salt Sea at the south end of Jordan. This was the south coast. And Jordan was the border of it on the east side. This was the inheritance of the children of Benjamin by the coast thereof round about according to their families. Now the cities of the tribe of the children of Benjamin according to their families were Jericho, and Beth-Hogla, the valley of Kiziz, Beth-Arabah, and Zemaraim, and Bethel, and Avim, and Perah, and Ophrah, and Kepher Hamani, and Ophni, and Geba, 12 cities with their villages, Gibeon, and Ramah, and Beeroth, and Mizpah, and Kephiroth, and Mozah, and Rechem, and Irpeel, and Terelah, and Zelah, and Elah, Aleph and Jeb Uzi, which is Jerusalem, and Gibeath and Kirjath, 14 cities and their villages. This is in their inheritance of the children of Benjamin according to their families. Okay, we've got a lot of dividing up, a lot of surveying and legal descriptions of the lands and who they belong to. So it's nice to find something else to talk about in between sometimes, like giants and inheritance statutes and marriage statutes and so forth. Anyway, we're at chapter 19 and verse 1. And the second lot came forth. We're only in the second of 7 lots here. So I'll get through it as quick as I can. The second lot came forth to Simeon, even for the tribe of the children of Simeon, according to their families and their inheritance, was within the inheritance of the children of Judah. And they had in their inheritance Beersheba and Sheba and Moladah and Hazar Shuel and Baalah and Azem and El Tolad and Bethuel and Hormah and Ziklag and Beth Macarboth and Hazar Suzah and Beth Leboath and Sharuhen, 13 cities and their villages, Ain, Ramon, and Ether, and Ashan, 4 cities and their villages, and all the villages that were round about these cities, to Baalath, Beer, and Ramath of the south. This is the inheritance of the tribes of Simeon according to their families. Out of the portion of the children of Judah was the inheritance of the children of Simeon, and her inheritance within the inheritance of them. And the third lot came up for the children of Zebulun according to their families, and the border of their inheritance was unto Sarid, and the border went up to the sea of Meralah, and reached to Debesheth, and reached to the river that is before Jokneam, and turned from Sarid eastward toward the sun rising unto the border of Chisloth Tabor, and then goeth out to Daberath, and goeth up to Japhiah, and from thence passeth along on the east to Giddith Hefer, and to Ita Kizrin, and goeth out to Remnon Methor, and Neah, and the border compasseth on the north side of Hanaath, and outgoings thereof are in the valley of Jiptael, and Keta, and Nahalal, and Shimron, and Idalah, and Bethlehem. Hey, there's what I know how to say. Bethlehem, 12 cities with their villages. You know, I was thinking, while I'm reading this, I can think, because I don't really have to think hard when I'm just pronouncing names that are seem somewhat impronounceable, but I'm just going through it the best I can. And I was thinking, well, you know, if I was making a movie about the book of Joshua, I would have the part where he says to the surveyors, go out and survey the land and divide it up equally into 7 parts, and we'll cast lots. And he picks 3 men from each of those 7 tribes to go out and do the survey. And then you cut 3 months later. You know, they come back and they've got a map, and they cast lots. And then you would point to the map and you would say, this is his lot, and this is his lot. And so you could get through all of this in about 10 minutes, whereas we're going through the descriptions here. And all of the names of all of the cities, and all of the names of all of the children of the tribes as they divided up the land. And it does become a little bit monotonous. But we've got a commitment here, you know, and the commitment is to go through the entire scripture, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. So I'm proud of anyone who's sticking with me through this, because I think we're getting a few gems here and there as we go through it. And I believe that our Heavenly Father rewards us as we go through His book patiently. I mean, if you really have a love for His Word, like I have a love for His Word, that means I'm going to even trudge through the muck and the mire, as it were, of all of the genealogies and all of the legal descriptions of the land. And that's what we're going through now, though I do a disservice to call it trudging through the muck and the mire, but that's kind of what it's like doing. If you've ever trudged through muck and mire, you know that it gets a little thick and it gets a little monotonous, and you know, you'll get through it. So we will get through it. We'll continue on, and we'll take whatever jewels we could find along the way. This is the inheritance, Joshua 19, chapter 19, verse 16. This is the inheritance of the children of Zebulun, according to their family, these cities with their villages. And the fourth lot came out to Issachar, for the children of Issachar, according to their families. And their border was toward Jezreel, and Chezuloth, and Shunem, and Hapharim, and Shihon, and Anaharoth, and Rabith, and Kishon, and Abez, and Ramath, and En-Ganim, and En-Hadah, and Beth-Pazez, and the coast reacheth to Tabor, and Shehazimah, and Beth-Shemesh, and the outgoings of their border were at Jordan, 16 cities with their villages. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Issachar, according to their families, in the cities and their villages. And of course, a lot of these cities and villages had the names of the pagans that lived there, and in time they would change some of these names, and of course, some of them would stay the same. The fifth lot came out for the tribe of the children of Asher according to their families. So we're in the fifth lot. We got two more lots to go after this. And their border was Helkath, and Halai, and Beten, and Aksaph, and Alamalek, and Amad, and Mishael, and reacheth to Carmel westward, and to Sihor Libnath, and turneth toward the sunrising, and to Beth Dagon, and reacheth to Zebulun, and to the valley of Jiphthael, toward the north side of Beth Emek, and Neiel, and goeth out to Kabal on the left hand, and Hebron, and Rehob, and Hammon, and Cana, even unto great Zidon. And then the coast turneth to Ramah, and to the strong city of Tyre, and the coast turneth to Hosah, and the outgoings thereof at the sea from the coast to Akzib. Umah also, and Aphek, and Rehob, and 22 cities with their villages. This is the inheritance of the tribe of Asher, according to their families, these cities with their villages. The sixth lot came out to the children of Naphtali, and for the children of Naphtali, according to their families. And their coast was from Heleph, and I just wonder for a minute here, My Wrestling, Naphtali, that's what Naphtali means, My Wrestling, a son of Jacob, with the tribe descended from him and his territory, Naphtali. So that's how we would pronounce it, Naphtali, with a F. According, the PH would be pronounced as an F, that is. And their coast was from Heleph, and Alon, and Zaananim, and Adamai, Nakeb, and Jabneel to Lakum, and the outgoings thereof were at Jordan. And then the coast turneth westward to Azrioth to Tabor, and goeth out from thence to Hakuk, and reacheth to Zebulun on the south side, and reacheth to Asher on the west side, and to Judah upon the Jordan toward the sun rising, and the fenced cities of Zidim, and Zir, and Hamath, and Rakath, and Chinnereth, and Admah, and Ramah, and Hazor, and Kadesh, and Edrei, and En-Hazor, and Iron, and Migdalel, Horem, and Beth-Anath, and Beth-Shemesh, and 19 cities with their villages. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Naphtali, according to their families, and the cities and their villages. And the seventh lot came out for the tribe of the children of Dan, according to their families. And the coast of the city, and the coast of their inheritance was Zorah, and Eshtoel, and Ir-Shemesh, and Shelah Ba'in, and Ajalon, and Jethlah, and Elon, and Thimnathalah, and Ekron, and El-Tekeh, and Gibbethon, and Baalath, and Jehud, and Bene-Barak, and Gath-Rimmon, and Mijarkon, and Rakon, and with the border before Japho, and the coast of the children of Dan went out too little for them. Therefore the children of Dan went up to fight against Leshem, and took it, and smote it with the edge of the sword, and possessed it, and dwelt therein, and called Leshem Dan, after the name of Dan their father. So they renamed the city of Leshem Dan. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Dan, according to their families, these cities with their villages. When they had made an end of dividing the land for inheritance by their coast, the children of Israel gave an inheritance to Joshua, the son of Nun, among them, according to the word of the Lord. They gave him the city which he asked, Timnath-Serah, and the Mount Ephraim, and he built the city and dwelt therein. These are the inheritance which Eleazar the priest and Joshua, the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel divided for an inheritance by lot in Shiloh before Yahuwah the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So they made an end of dividing the country. Hallelujah. Yes. And I added the hallelujah in there. Okay. We're in Joshua chapter 20 and verse 1. And you know what? We're going to pick up there next time on Cross the Border, because we're at the end of our time here today. Got about a minute, yes. So I'm going to say, invite you all to visit my website. There you'll find a link to email me. And I would like to hear from you, especially first-time listeners, just to say hi or I'm listening or whatever you want to say, challenges, anything, whatever. You think I'm wrong on something, you know, use that King James Bible, use that e-sword and set me right, because I want to be right. And if I'm wrong, I want to be corrected. So visit my website and be sure to put Cross the Border or Nicholas or something to get my attention on that email subject line so we don't pass over it. Well, as always, in everything you say and everything you do, hallelujah, praise his holy name.